You might like to open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 23. And in our study of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is having to exercise himself in a very special way, and he is dealing with the people by way of God's word, by way of the Spirit of God, and the people are responding in a negative way. Therefore, as he brings the word, God is leveling out to the people the understanding that the message of the false prophets and the priest and the leadership, the kings, is not the right message. It's all wrong. But the people insist on having and hearing that, even though it's wrong. Now, so therefore, chapter 23, we share together about God's word. God makes it very clear it needs to be delivered faithfully, verse 28, and verse 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And therefore, God, as we shared all of that, that all that the false prophets will say and do is going to come to naught, to nothing, and it isn't going to work, and they're going to pay for it. So as we shared together and looked at all of that in the movement, Israel is God's nation to reach all the nations. That's their assignment. And in the process of that, they are to be given the wonderful exercise of being the custodians, Romans 9, of God's word, God's covenants, God's gifts, God's blessing. They were given the custodialship of all of these wonderful things. Now, in the light of that, and so God is judged, you're going to judge, chapter 23, and in verse 11, for both prophets and priests are profane. God is, the whole chapter and section, is dealing with specifically the judgment of the false prophets and the priest. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, over in chapter 5, before you do that, chapter 6 and then 5. Just to remind you now, chapter 6, and may I pick up the thought, you'll recall it maybe, verse 16, 6 and 16. And you will notice, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. And ask for what? For the old paths, the way you were going right, you got off the path and are going wrong. Verse, old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And their response was, they said, we will not walk therein. A wonderful opportunity to stay straight instead of going crooked, to stay on the path. They got off the path. Verse 17. And also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken, listen to the sound of the trumpet, and warning, the trumpet warns and blows when it's to tell you a message, that they aren't listening. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Verse 18, therefore hear, ye nations, not Israel now, everyone around her, all the unsaved nations. Hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Here in the middle of them is Israel. Hear, O earth, verse 19, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So there's a total disconnect from God. chapter 5 now, we just reminding you, the people having the rejection, the people not knowing it all, knowing these false prophets and that, and verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means in cahoots with them, and my people love it so, love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof? What are you going to do when all the reality comes? You loved it. Now what are you going to do when everything is destroyed? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind as you go forward, so here's God, and God is seeking to help the people to understand and to be able to stand. And in addition to that, they're going out, not only are they rejecting God and His Word, but they're jeering, mocking, making fun of, making a whole lot of activity like a little party, a fun party, to insult and to blaspheme God. And they were using, so every time Jeremiah would say out in the street, he'd do it every day, they would go and say, "What's the burden of the Lord today, remember?" Verse 33 of chapter 23. And chapter 23. And they would say, "What is the burden of the Lord?" In other words, Jeremiah, what message do you have today? We want to know what message. And we're going to go, and as you say it, we're already laughing. We're already going to make fun. No matter what you say, no matter how you say it, we're going to make fun about it. So that's what they're going to do. Knowing, but they don't know. God's word is a hammer. God's word is a consuming fire. They don't know that. They aren't paying attention to that. So now, having said that, so what is the burden of the Lord? And that's what they want to know. And they're going to say it to directly in front of Jeremiah. And then they gathered in little groups in the highway and byway as they met each other and made jokes about it. And they said, "Well, what did he say today?" And they listened and tried to mimic it and repeat it and make fun of it. Now, that's what they were doing. And they failed. They failed to be knowing and understanding God's word, as we read in verse 29. God's presence, verse 23. And I'll read that. 23. "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God? Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Where are you going to go from my presence? So they were excluding God, getting rid of God, pushing God out of the picture and his word. But God reminded them that's impossible. And what they're doing is going to keep building until God, think of the Genesis 15, and the cup of the Amorites wasn't full, I think it was them. The cup isn't full. Now, God, you're going to let them dig a hole deep enough, they're going to bury themselves. That's what they're going to do. "Oh, you go dig your hole, and when you get deep enough, I'll tell you, you're not going to get out of it." And that's what they were doing. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, you have in verse 33, I'll read it. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, "What is the burden of the Lord?" thou shalt say unto them, "What burden? And I will even forsake you, saith the Lord." Now, so what burden? And there's a little way you can say that. What burden? What burden are you talking about? He's throwing it back in their face. And if you just take a Hebrew word and a consonants, a little vowels, consonants, and you just cut them, if you bring them together, you have "what burden." If you take them apart, you have "you are the burden," just by splitting them. "You are the burden." And the Septuagint, the Old Testament translation, the Greek translation, uses that. You are the burden. And that's how they translate it. And that was when, long before, in 200 BC or whatever. So you have two things. A, what is the burden? / you are the burden. You are the burden. So now God's throwing it. And then he says, I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And then we shared in verse 31, I don't want to hear that word out of you again. And if any of you dare say to Jeremiah, a burden, or a priest, were you a prophet or the priest going to say it, I am going to personally, said God, I'm going to judge him. Right off. And there you find all of it's back down, backed away. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so what, God, what is, you are the burden, the burden. Now, God, what are you doing? Well, if, God, you carry the burden. I do. You carry them. Now, but, I'm going to, and the word burden, that which is lifted up, that which is carried, the word of God, we shared it together. Moses carried the word of God in his heart, a burden. That which, a load you carry, a heavy load. Now, so therefore, the burden is going to be on you. And you're going to live your life, the rest of your life, up to Nebuchadnezzar, where you'll probably die. You're going to live it up to then, and you're going to carry. I'm not going to help you at all. I who forgive your sins, I who give you comfort, I'm not going to give you one drop. You are going to carry your mind, your worry, your anxiety, your depression, you're going to carry it all by your lonesome. Not only are you going to carry it, but you are the source. You are the source of the problem. So I got, here's a load. They're carrying their life's mental, moral activity, and they are the problem. So I got two things, the burden, and they are the burden. You can't get worse than that. Hang on now. So therefore now, in the light of all, of looking at that, if you would, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to Exodus and, chapter 19. Just to tie it together, Exodus chapter 19. And reminding us. In Exodus chapter 19, I'm looking at a little word, burden. The verb, root word, to lift up, to carry a heavy load. It would be used of donkeys carrying. Donkeys carrying the packs on their back. The burden on the donkey. Now, so here's the word used, only God uses it. And in verse chapter 19 and in verse 4. And you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you. There's the little word. I carried you like a load. I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I did that. You were in Egyptian bondage and I took you out of bondage and brought you into the wilderness, etc., to Mount Sinai. Now, having said that little bit in chapter 19, look over, if you would please, in chapter 25. And in chapter 25, picking up, just to remind, all of Israel, what Israel's going to do what? They're going to, remember the burden, Jeremiah is carrying the word of God in his heart, and out it comes. What did Israel do that demonstrated their burden? They carried God. They carried the ark. God could have had the ark in a different kind of way, but they were to personally, it was all equipped with poles and Levites to carry it. It was all set up so that Israel would be seen carrying God, if you would, the ark. Verse 14. And thou shalt put these staves into the rings of the sides, by the sides of the ark, and that the ark may be borne, carried with them. You see, God, they're going to have a, verse 27, over against the border shall the rings be for the places of the staves to bear the table. So they carried. The Levites, they're carrying God's wonderful equipment. They're carrying it. And so they were privileged to carry and exercise all of these wonderful things. Verse chapter 28. And picking up, I can, in verse 12. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, for the high priest, for the stones of memorial unto the children of Israel and Aaron, and Aaron shall bear, the high priest, there's the word, he's going to carry their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. So as the priest, Aaron representing the Lord Jesus Christ, he would go, and the names of Israel are on his breastplate. The names of Israel are on his shoulders. God, you're carrying Israel, and that's what you're demonstrating to the Jew, to the people, by way of Aaron, by way of the high priest. God, you're carrying them. That's how they're going to get anywhere. You're going to carry them there and make it happen in a most wonderful way. Now, and in Deuteronomy chapter 1, just to pick up one more, maybe. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, picking up all the thought, you see it in verse 31. 1 and 31. And you'll see it in verse 31. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, there's your little word, to carry, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that you went until he came unto this place. So, God, you are reminding Israel again and again that they are going to be where they're going to be because you carry them, you bear them, you do it. And the word is used of forgiving their sin. You have pardoned. You have carried their sin in the sense of forgiveness and all of that. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and in the, without, well, you're in Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Just one other place to tie it together. We already read it in Exodus, but here it is again. In Exodus, and in verse 11, 32:11, just look at it. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, and taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So she carries them. She carries the load of Israel. God is carrying the load of Israel. Verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him. And there were no strange gods with him. God was taking him down the corridor of time in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 53. And in Isaiah chapter 53, picking up, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 4. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross. Isaiah 53. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne, there's your word, carried our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Say, oh, what an awful thing he had to do and die. He must have done something awful. What is wrong that he had to die like that? Because he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And you'll find it again in verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare, there's your little word, the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So God, you did all of these wonderful things to make it all happen. Now, having said that and doing that, keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, that, and remember, now we're going to move over to the word burden, but different in application. Psalm 81. In Psalm 81. And you will note, please, this is a psalm for the temple, etc., when they're in need. And here in verse 6, I'm going to go to verse 6 directly. I removed, God giving his record, telling of his testimony. Verse 6, I removed his shoulder from the burden of Egypt. His hands were delivered from the pots, making pots in Egypt. They were delivered, and God, you did that. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, and going to verse 7, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in a secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Salah. Hear, O Israel, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Now, if you'll just listen to me, said God. Now, in the wilderness, remember now, in the wilderness they would go, and they saw and they heard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 40 years. They listened and saw God's awesome person and work. And God was leading them like a shepherd. He led them and cared for them. That's how they were kept. They didn't do, you don't read anything about Israel doing things, fighting wars like they will across the Jordan. You don't read that. In the wilderness, it's God tending them from top to bottom, their food, their diet, their health, their clothes, their laundry, everything. There was nothing they didn't do. He shepherded, that's the word. He shepherded them for 40 years. That's what he did. Totally, like sheep, little sheep. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so as he did that, and God, and he did it. Now, in the process of doing it, of shepherding and caring like that, what do we know about it? Now, in all of that time, Moses is going to tell us when you come to the end, you don't have to turn there, chapter 32, when you come to the end, that they, God said, Moses said, after my death, you are going to do worse than you are now. You're going to be in more trouble. You aren't looking to God as you should, even though you're going to cross the Jordan. But there's going to be a change when they cross the Jordan for 7 years. And so that's an awesome thing. Now, but apart from 7 years, then you've got the judges, the kings, and the captivity. So here's all the disciples going to the disciples now. So the Israel on course, went off course. Is there another course for Israel? Is there another country? Another city? Another place? No. No. Either you get it right in Jerusalem, or the Jerusalem goes to Nebuchadnezzar in ruins. If you don't get it right in Jerusalem, Titus in 70 AD, Jerusalem's in level again. If you don't get it right, there's only one place. Hang on to that, Jerusalem. Now, so when you come to the 11 disciples, using 11 of them, when you take 11 of them, and they for 3 1/3 years, they're with our Lord, do you know that they were with him 7 days a week, pretty much, for 3 1/3 years? And they, you know what? They never could experience and enjoy God. You don't read it. They couldn't experience and enjoy God. What was the problem? What did the Lord do? He did everything for them. He protected them. He fed them. He paid the taxes. He did everything. And all they could do is be there because they couldn't connect to him. So they're with him, but they weren't with him. That's the point. They were in the wilderness, 600 plus to over 2.5 million, over 600,000 men, and they couldn't connect. And God's 24 hours a day doing everything, but they couldn't connect. So, you know what? They lose. They just miss out. God, did you have another plan? No, there is no other plan. There is no other plan. So as you go down and put it together in the light of the apostles, the disciples, if you would, and they're not able to really experience and enjoy God at all. They couldn't do it. And what's Peter going to say after the resurrection? He's going to say, I go fishing. That's what he says. I go fishing. Did you get the message? Peter, you guys get it? No. But you know what? In those 3 1/3 years, God singled out Peter, James, and John, brothers. He singled them out. Here's the 11, and here's 8 of them, not leaving Judas out of it. Here's 8 of them, but only 3 of them enjoyed special privilege. Now, why the others weren't involved, we don't know. But they weren't involved. Hang on to that. They just weren't involved for whatever reasons. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, so here's Israel, and here we are now. And they, Israel, the disciples, apostles, and us, what do we have? We have ears to hear. Now, God, you give it. You said it over and over. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What the Spirit of God says to the churches. Are you hearing? I'm trying to make noise. Are you hearing? Are you hearing? Yeah. We could hear. Do we have ears to hear and want to get it? You may not want to get it for many reasons. Not able to pick it up. You aren't ready for it in the sense that we're talking about A, B, C, D, E, and you're still on C. You haven't got to E yet. So here we are. So God, here we are, and we have to have ears to hear and receive. And we have to have a heart to be believing. And if we don't have a heart to be believing, then how are we going to be changed? If we aren't looking for that. We aren't looking. The little kid growing up, the person going to school with some discipline, is going to go and study and try to get everything they can in going. So ears to hear and a heart to believe. And we've got to be believing. Are we believing? If we're believing, then God calls the shots. There's nothing to say. No debate, no dialogue, no discussion. And not only that, do we have the hope, in order to be proceeding? So, A, we've got to have an ear to hear. B, we've got to have a heart to believe. C, we have to have hope, a wonderful, wonderful expectancy. And God said, I want you to look to me with all your heart as you go down your unknown tomorrows, and you go down the corridor, look to me. And that's what are we going by? I can't see tomorrow, neither can you. You can't even see 3 hours from now. Neither can I. But God does. And hope is what propels us. So we're in the right place, looking to God, ears to hear, heart believing, hope, going down, blessed hope, going down the corridor of time in a most wonderful way. Now, and therefore, knowing that all things work together for good, Romans 8, I'll turn there, and verse 29. God, what are you after? What would you say for your life? What would you say for your life right now? Right now, what is God after? God, look, here we are in your presence, God. What are you looking for, God? Well, what's going to happen tomorrow at work, at school? No. You're looking for one thing. What is it? I'm looking to conform you to my image. You're going to be changed by one degree of another, to another. Changed. I'm looking to make you like my son. I'm looking to make saints saintly right now. But what about my job, my health, my wealth? Nothing to do with that. Now, that doesn't mean God isn't involved. It's just nothing to do with that. So now, I need to keep that in mind so that I do that. And God, what are we going to do then? We're going to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So I got to have ears to hear and a heart to believe, heart and hope. I got to have that personally. If I don't have it personally, no matter what you say and do, I'm not going to connect. I'm not hearing. My heart isn't right. I'm not looking to God. Blessed hope. I'm not doing it. It isn't going to come out. So God, you want what? You want me to be changed to be like your son? And we're to work out that wonderful relationship all by us, our lonesome, verse 13. And you're going to go in your wonderful way, verse 13, and work out, working in us, both to will of your good pleasure. You're going to do all of that. Well, that's a wonderful thing. Therefore, the system we live in the process, the system we live in, concept is very important. If you don't understand an issue, how do you do mathematics? How do you do electronics? How do you do physics? How do you do chemistry without following methodically what you're supposed to do? Now, in order to get it, we'd have to be methodical and do it. Discipline ourselves. God, how are we going to get into your will? You have to have a wonderful, wonderful looking to you, God. And if I don't want to do that, and I don't do that, it isn't going to happen, not in this life. Now, so therefore, and I want to be very careful in wanting God's will for my life as I go down the corridor of time. And I want to be careful. I'm either going to have ears to hear and a heart to believe and a hope looking to God. And I'm not looking to my wife, I'm not looking to the governor, I'm not looking to anyone. I look to God. You aren't trying to copy anybody, you aren't trying to mimic anybody, and people do all kinds of things that you could use. Don't do that, because you aren't obligated. You're obligated. I'm obligated to God. So it doesn't matter what anyone wants. It's what do you say, God, what you're saying, and what do you want? That's what I have to do. And we have to do that. So we go down the corridor of time and journey down the corridor of time. And now, if my heart was right, I'm going to stay right on target like Caleb and Joshua. For 38 years, they trusted God in the wilderness. That's what they did. And the rest of them all died off. But they did. So I want to understand, if I want something, if I want an English class, I got to go to English and study it, physics or whatever I'm doing, and I want to study it. I want to learn it. Now, God, if I want what you want, then I'm going to have to go for what you want, the way you want it. Otherwise, I don't have it. There is no other choice. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So you can't go any other way. There is no other way. Broad is the way which leads to destruction. And few there be that go down the right road. But people don't want to go down the right road. People sit here on the Sundays and that. And they aren't ready to grab hold and run. No, I wish they were, but at least they're exposed. They're here. Isn't that good? They're learning, at least exposed to the atmosphere. At least that's a good shot. You can get through it and learn something, and God help us. So therefore, as you journey down the corridor of time, 99% of the people have to learn in the College of Hard Knocks. You understand that? And they aren't lined up, they get saved, they get down the track, and they're going to run, and they don't go to the left, like Joshua. And they don't go to the right. They go straight down the road. But those are rare people that understand the purpose of the church to be members of his body. Those are rare people. Because we normally take traditional church a group, an organization, a building, whatever, and we come together and we go, and there's other groups and there's other Stop and Shops and ShopRites and Walmarts, and there's all kinds. And hey, that's our thinking. And that's all right. That God will understand. God understands, because I'm not ready. I have to be ready. And if I don't want that, I could be a believer, but I should want that. Does God have anything else for me as a believer? What else does God have for you as a believer, apart from Jesus Christ and you becoming like him? What else does he have for you? Can you name something? Name me something. What is it in your life? You're going to live tomorrow and the next day maybe? What is the purpose? What does God have? What would you like? God has one thing in mind, to be like him. And he doesn't change that. You can't change it. When you get saved, that's what you are. You're part of the body. That's rare. I know it is. We say it 100 times, 1,000 times all these years. I know it's rare. It's too much. It's because it means God's in us, in Christ, and we're, wow. And no one, it's unbelievable because it is real. But because God has to do it, and humans can't possibly conceive of it without God. If God's missing, there's no way to open the Red Sea. If God's missing, there's no way for the flower to open. Wow. So here we are looking into his system. So in the thing going down, the College of Hard Knocks is how most of us have to learn. And that's what we learn, to be committed, to have that's what's supposed to be. And don't throw that away in the name of whatever you got and whatever people do. That's the one, you throw it away, you don't have the Bible. You might as well close it and put it away, because that is the Bible. God and you. That's about you. Now, either you go for that or you don't. Although, I like God. Sunday morning, I come a little bit and get something and whatever I'm doing, and I go out and I do it. Are you understanding? It isn't about your job. It isn't about your family. It isn't about your health. It isn't about your wealth. It isn't about anything. It isn't about time. It's about you enjoying the eternal God in your eternal person right now. True? If you're saved, aren't you eternally, don't you have eternal life? Don't you enjoy eternal life, which is God? Eternity. That's what's happening right now. You don't know it. No more than you know your heart's pumping all that blood. But it's real. And you need to understand that. And therefore, your journey. So I understand. And you have to understand why people... I can't do anything. I wish I had some magic thing. I'd do it to myself first, I guess. And put it and touch you, and you just catch it and run with it. But that doesn't work. You got to have something in you that wants it, and you go for it. And if you don't have that, it isn't going to happen. Not in this life. And that's why thousands, mostly 99% of the believers, never are there. It doesn't mean they aren't saved. It just means they never get there. They never get to be one of the three. They never get to be in the inward. They're on the outer circle. And they like it. It's outer circle. It's good. And they're out there. Now, so therefore, I just want you to have that little bit. Don't copy and understand the system's not going to bring you there. And there's no other journey they're going to take into the heart of God apart from Jesus Christ and the local assembly as a body of believers. That's just the way it is. That's the New Testament from top to bottom. And you couldn't find otherwise. I'm not going to challenge you, but go ahead. Show me it. I can turn page after page. You want to honor God. His word is a hammer, a fire. And they wouldn't do it in Jeremiah's day. They lost out. They could have had everything and kept it, but they didn't do it. And now, you got the idea. Now, are you still in Psalm 81? Maybe. Pick up this then. Pick up Psalm 81. Bango. Verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will what? Now, what do you think that takes? What kind of talent does that take? A little bird, open your mouth. Most of you can open your mouth. Can't you? You can open your mouth. God says, just open it and let me fill it. You don't fill it. I don't fill it. God fills it. That's God. That's awesome. That's God's will, in God's way, in God's time, in God's place. And you can't substitute. So either you want to have that in your head, but most people don't get it. And hopefully, in our wanderings and comings and goings, that we eventually want to do right and learn. And God takes our circumstances and the occasion, and we learn. We wake up to God's thing, and we want to get with it. But we aren't with it now, maybe. But we'll be with it then, maybe. Maybe, maybe not. But we could be. And we pray to that end. We don't want to go and commend and applaud taking off. What do you want to do that for? That's against the book. Do you understand that? You won't find that in here. I'm not going to fix it. It's just part of the thing. And that's why no one grows, because no one else cares about growing. Or you can have a lot of friends. They don't care about growing. They don't care about being changed like unto Christ. So here we are, God, moving down the corridor and trying to help a little bit. You don't want to do that. Then you give the wrong example and you're saying the wrong thing to people. Pray for them. Pray for each other. Pray that we'll get all, pray that the, if the person's a professing believer, pray that they'd grow and know. That's what. Don't applaud way out, go in the wrong direction. There's one direction, God's way. There is no other way, no other way in forever. So you either go God's direction or you don't. And most people are quite content. Pastors, leaders, bishops, cardinals, all of them. They don't care. They don't care. So why should the people care? They don't care. Why should you? You see? It's an example. Not a good example. We ought to set a good example. That's what we ought to do. That doesn't mean you don't care. Listen, if anyone cared, no one's going to care for you like God does. Do you understand that? No, you don't. No one cares like God does. I wish I could burn that into you. And you would run the race all the way to the end. But we don't understand God loves taking care of you. You understand that? And we're trying to fix our life and do whatever, and it just isn't going to come out. It doesn't come out. It doesn't come out. Let's face it. We watch them come and go. All disappear. All disappear. That isn't God's way. That's our way. Our church system, not his. So therefore, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. And, verse 10, verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. They just... Now, God, what I'm reading to you now and what you're looking at is just as true this very second as it is in this book. And they would not listen. They don't believe that if I open my mouth and I really want what God wants and God's going to put in it, I don't tell God I'll have 3 chocolate bars, no asparagus, and you don't tell God that. You open your mouth and you pray to be a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. and you want to know God's living will for your life. And you open your mouth, and God has you go to breakfast, to school, to work, to whatever you're doing, and you do it. And you're trusting God. And that's how you, and you're staying connected to what He wants. And you go down the corridor. Otherwise, it isn't going to happen. And what do you want to be a flunky for? We got enough flunkies everywhere. We got thousands of them. People that have nothing to say about God. That say they're Christians or whatever. I don't know. But God help us. So therefore, verse 12. Remember the burden? The burden, God said, you are the burden. Verse 12 says it. I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. I gave them up, and they're living with their worries and their wants, and they're going to solve their life's problems, and they're going to work through them as they come, and that's what they're going to do, and I'm not going to be there to help them. I'm right there, but you aren't going to find my help. And that's, boy, that's what God just said it. Open your mouth wide, and if they don't want to, then I give them up to their own counsels. Oh, that my people, verse 13, had hearkened unto me if they had just done so. And Israel had walked in my ways, I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries, and the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock, I would have satisfied them. And what you want, you don't want to just be saved. You want to enjoy being sanctified and set apart for God like the watch. And you want to be satisfied. Satisfied. Life isn't going to make you satisfied. Everything's like this. So you're trying to get satisfied? Forget it. One minute you're happy, the next minute you're sad. Up and down. Everything's all over the place. And the world's going to get more volatile. So forget that. God, the only way I'm going to get satisfied is to have an understanding of why I'm alive and why I'm here on planet Earth, and God, what you're after. And that's what I want to go for. I understand I may not have that in my head yet. And I don't understand. I'm not there yet, but I want to be. So I may step over here and step over there. I may fall down over here, get up over here, but I want it. So God, it's going to keep working in me, and it's going to get clear and clearer because I want it. But if I don't want it, it isn't going to happen. And God allows and helps us in our ignorance, in our frailty and faultiness. God helps us. So that we, as we go down the corridor of time, God, you would give us the finest of wheat. And you want to have that. You could be Bill Gates or the other big guys with $1 billion, $1 zillion, or whatever. They have big castles and whatever. The little guy sitting, doing the best he can, getting whatever, working at it, trusting the Lord, is going to go to bed like in Proverbs and have a peaceful sleep because he's trusting God. And that's satisfied. Satisfied. Here you got a pay raise. I had a series of them once. I never took them. Every 3 months, it would have raised my pay if I just stayed. Wow. But I didn't care about the money. It wasn't money. It was being satisfied. And I was satisfied, with or without money. You want to be satisfied, with or without children, marriage, kids, job, health, wealth. You want to learn to be satisfied, don't you? A satisfied, to be at peace. How can you pay? There's no money. You can't buy that. You can't earn it. It's a gift. And God gives it. But people don't want it. So you end up with just a few. It's hard to find them. Yeah, I gotta quit. Ah, God. You know, take my yoke upon you. And what? Whose yoke is it? Whose learning is it? Who are you going to learn about? It's his yoke. You're going to learn about him. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Mine. It's all his, and he gives it to you. Just put your head under the yoke and go. But no, you block on. When you got saved, who bought you with a price? We say all that, don't we? Well, I believe that. Baloney. If you believed it, you wouldn't understand you're not your own. You don't belong to you anymore. You belong to him. Well, then you don't believe it. You really don't believe it. And people that don't believe it don't go anywhere. They never go anywhere. 100 years from now, they never go anywhere. And we're looking to them, be an example to me and help me. What kind of example? Wow.